free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Free Energy Now. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. Today, March 31st, 2008, we have as our guest a swaparoo. We had scheduled Wes Crozier to talk about some behind-the-scenes research and development he's been involved with, some people he's worked with, some trickery he's encountered, incompetence, possible fraud, as well as some working stuff. He's been around for two or three decades in the field. Unfortunately, he did not pick up his line. And so, at the last second, I called Eric Krieg. Eric Krieg is known in the field as a skeptic who wants to believe that there's stuff out there but has yet to see reason to be convinced that there is something out there. And he's been wanting to come on this show, so he has been called with just 1 minute's notice. And he's now on the line, and we haven't even talked about what we're going to talk about.
Whatever you want to talk about is great with me, Sterling.
Let's start out by talking about this challenge that has been extended to you and others by the Dennis Lee crowd. A person in particular, Jeff Otto, has thrown down the gauntlet and says, okay, you skeptics, I'm going to issue a challenge. I'm going to put $5,000 down in cash, and you put down $5,000, and we're going to run a before and after test on a vehicle. We'll bring the vehicle. We're going to put our modification on it, that the hydrogen assist fuel cell is what they call it, HAFC, which includes some acetone xylene additive. It includes an onboard electrolyzer, which puts the hydroxy gas into the air intake, and it includes some other stuff as well. They will install their system on a car, and the car is guaranteed, according to their literature, to get at least a 50% improvement in mileage. And Eric has a page on his website where he says that that's a bunch of bunk. They can't do that. And so Jeff Otto says, okay, I'll challenge you. Put your money where your mouth is. Put up $5,000, and if this car is modified and gets a 50% improvement in mileage per our application and under test conditions that we both agree to, then Jeff Otto gets $10,000 from the kitty. If it doesn't get above 50% improvement in mileage, then the skeptic, in this case, Eric Krieg, would get the $10,000. There's actually two others who are from the New Energy Congress, and Eric Krieg is a member of the New Energy Congress that I founded about 2.5 years ago. I believe he was a founding member. And so Mark Danzy also accepted the challenge, and Jim Dunn are involved in basically negotiating the terms, talking through how we're going to do this, so it's agreeable to everyone involved. And I've been kind of in the middle orchestrating, moderating, and posting comments on the page at pezwiki.com about this challenge. So let's get your side. What do you think is going to happen in this test, and why have you put up a page that says that this is bunk?
Okay, my general experience with these tests is they either get stopped during the negotiation phase or there's like a breakdown last minute and the test is off. I'd love for it to be real, and I'll certainly continue negotiating in earnest. As soon as I found out that that offer was out there, I emailed Jeff. I think that was about 2 days ago. He hasn't responded to me. In fact, in 10 years of trying to dialogue with him, I don't think he's ever been willing to respond to me other than to tell me not to email to him. the reason why I'm predisposed to think it's bunk is if it were possible, a group with a better success record than Lee's would have been the first to do it. Also, they've been promising high mileage for about 6 years now, and I've been begging all along, let me test it, haven't seen anything, and haven't really gotten any what I feel are solid, confirmed reports of it. So until I get better evidence, I'm inclined to not believe it's for real.
What kinds of things do you say on your page about the product?
Well, it's my understanding from talking to a number of people that the vast majority of people that are trying to get this haven't gotten it yet, but believe that other people do have it working. I've heard a few reports of people that haven't gotten it going. Now, just Dennis Lee's bad history, all the people that have accused him of fraud and his problems with the government and all that, that wouldn't necessarily mean that it doesn't work, but I found them all along to be disingenuous when it comes to any third-party validation of his claims. I've had a standing offer of $50,000 for him for over 10 years now for proof of the free electricity claim. He promises to demonstrate that in stadiums across America in July. We'll see if that becomes one more broken promise. I'd love to believe this stuff is real, but I'd like to see real evidence before recommending.
Let's talk for a second about that $50,000 prize. Is that extended to anyone, and what are the terms of that prize?
Well, I made it $10,000 for anyone because I figure if it is possible, it'd be someone else before him with this really long record of failure and stuff getting it. I would make good in that, but my general free energy prize is something that has totally unconventional energy. I don't even count fusion, because cold fusion, because I think there's a small chance it could be something, but generally over unity motors, zero point energy, gravity machines, something that can put out even 1.5 kilowatt hours solidly for 24 hours with no possibility of hidden batteries and that kind of stuff, lighting a bank of lights where after it gets set up, no external energy. That would do it to me to convince me that this stuff is possible.
How long have you had that prize or that offer out there?
That's been going around 10 years, and I get an unending stream of people promising in a month or two they'll have it working, but I have yet to even have someone show up at my house to demonstrate it. I've had all kinds of people say, oh, yeah, we have these machines. We're just too busy with mass production to take time with you. Don't worry, you'll be buying them in Walmart soon enough. But I'm still waiting. I'd love to be convinced. I'm a little tired of being against something. I'd rather be for something. I guess I'm for science. I'm for technology. I'm for the kind of engineering that engineers like I have done to make the world a better place. But I'd love to be the Saul on the road to Damascus. I'd love to do that. 180. And totally change after seeing the light. I don't count on that happening, but to be honest, I have to be willing to make that transformation, and it's only a question of what evidence would do it.
There are a lot of people who have claimed to have achieved some degree of over-unity, a magnet motor, completely permanent magnet motor where there's no electrical input. I just saw another video yesterday of one I'll be putting on my site in the next 2-3 days. I've had, in the last month, 4 people contact me who claim to have working magnet motors. And you want this to be a 1.5 kilowatt minimum output, which is usually quite a bit over a first prototype, because usually...
You know, I think you're right about that, Sterling. I really have the bar set high. It's only out of being worried that maybe I could be tricked some way with stored up power, and I'm willing to negotiate that down. In fact, for someone that just has a self-runner, a motor that runs perpetually, I'd be willing to, not for money, but just as a witness, say, well, here's something someone showed me. I saw it start up. I can't figure out any way that it could be fraudulent. Maybe it is, but I can't explain it. I'd love to even do that and do that kind of validation, but I can't travel on my own nickel. I know people, and you know them too, that you know maybe they have a better heart than me, have traveled all over seeking these kinds of stuff and haven't seen anything. So I'd have to have someone bring it to me. I've also had a variant where I've offered, okay, if you have one of these fantastic devices and you can't move it easy or can't afford to move it easy, let me line up a witness in your area, someone who I could pick. I'd talk over what to look for. If they convince me, well, then I'll pay for a plane ticket and come on over to have the test location be at your site. But, again, haven't gotten that far either.
Mm-hmm.
But it is weird. These people come out of the woodwork at a steady rate. Well, I should say an increasing rate. As energy has become more precious and as more people are understanding what dire straits our world is in, it almost seems like there's more people that try to tilt at that particular windmill and go for the impossible dream.
I know a lot of people. I shouldn't say a lot. On occasion, when I'm on conversation with somebody about their device, your prize will come up, and there will be a hesitation on their part, saying, "Well, he's the last person I'd want to show this to because he's probably a paid informant, and if I tell him, then the insider club's going to know, and then they'll send their hacks after me." And
I've heard that same thing too.
What's that?
I've heard that same stuff too. There's a lot of ugly stories about me out there. I think my angle is they come from the kind of con men that I expose out that discredit me and distract attention from the real issue of whether something works. And in those cases, my recommendation is, okay, well, at least let me describe to you the kind of test that you'd want to do to an impartial observer. Just get a anonymous email address that we could dialogue at. Don't give me your phone number. Don't give me your home address, and maybe I can help put you in touch with someone you could trust, and here's the kind of test that you'd want to do to get converted from being considered just one more lunatic out there to, walking down the aisle to get your Nobel Prize. If I could help a person that way, even if they think I'm a paid character assassin paid by big oil, well, maybe I could indirectly do some good in the world that way.
By the way, I should have mentioned this right at the top, and I may have, said a word or two alluding to this, but just so the audience knows, you're probably the most famous or well-known skeptic of free energy, and
out on the internet, at least. Bob Park wrote a book on it. I haven't done a book, but some people have said I'm the number one skeptic on the internet on it.
And I should also mention that, our reason for including you in the New Energy Congress was to have your skeptical input, as we have various claims that come along, people alleging they've got this or that, to make sure that the skeptic of skeptics is satisfied with the test conditions that are set forth. And I also personally feel that you're sincere in your skepticism, that you're, I'm satisfied that you're not a paid government agent just out there causing trouble, which is what a lot of people think about you, which I think is somewhat of a knee-jerk reaction to someone who is as skeptical and vocal about it as you are. You've got, I find when I do a Google search on certain things, we usually do really well in our coverage. We're up there in the top three very often. When you Google a keyword of something that we cover, our website comes up often even before the company website. But when you cover something, your coverage comes even before ours.
You're right, and I've actually asked people about that. It's almost freaked me out. And what I've heard from other skeptics that there's so few of us, we cover different areas. Some cover, you know, like astrology or talking to the dead claims or UFOs. And some of them have told me that there's someone or a few people in Google that are like the hyper-intelligent, hyper-rationalist kind of people that are probably skeptics themselves that have done something to the algorithm to give skeptics a bump up. And it might be partly because there's so many crooks and spammers out on the internet that they see us as the exact opposite of the spammer and the crook, so that they did something to weight their algorithm in our favor. So I probably actually ended up unfairly a little bit high, but I try to be responsible and at least give links to the believer side, which is generally rarely reciprocated back to me.
Of course, you know that we on our site try and give that kind of reciprocal coverage. If there is a skeptical or negative point of view about something that we're covering and we know about it, invariably we will link to it. If we don't, it's just a matter of we haven't gotten around to it too many things in the day. But
and that's why I recommend your site to skeptics, Sterling, for that one reason. I've heard some skeptics come down harshly on you, and I've said, now hold on a minute, you know, maybe he believes in a few more things than we do, but at least give him credit for being open-minded to both points of view. And that's all I ask for. If you want to look at the kind of oddball out there sites, that's fine. At least look at the skeptical sites as well and get that balance. And I think you're one of the few middle-of-the-road places out there that tries to be responsible and point people both ways and trust people to make their own decision.
Yeah, I don't know that if I would use the word middle of the road, because, you know, we obviously have a slant and a desire to see free energy emerge somewhere and a belief that it will emerge. That's generally the bias. But at the same time, we do, I appreciate the word responsible, because we do try and present all sides of an issue so that people are given the information with which they can then make a decision. And as a result of that, we've gotten some of the same kind of heat that you've gotten from some of these individuals, where you're presently in a lawsuit with Dennis Lee over some of your skeptical coverage of him. I've been threatened with lawsuits from Carl Tilley and others because of some of the skeptical negative things that we have on our site about people that we cover. And so I know that the heat can be pretty intense when a rosy-colored picture is not painted. Some people are especially temperamental about that.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of oddballs in this, and some people that you'd expect to be a natural ally of yours can turn on you. And I certainly know what you're saying about the whole thing of lawsuits, and that's something in the past few years I've gotten just a little bit away from being a skeptic of free energy to defending against what's called a SLAP lawsuit, strategic lawsuit against public participation. I see the right of free speech to be very important. That's why I never backed down for an instant when Lee sued me twice. As far as I know, on the second suit, which I defended just myself because I didn't want to make any lawyers have to bother with it or cost my insurance company any more money, as far as I know, I beat that back, and it's just kind of in limbo, and I don't think you can really raise it again. But anyone out there that says anything, could have anyone come up at any time and launch a bogus lawsuit, it can be garbage and cost you a lot of money and a lot of time to beat it back, and that's a shame. And any I see it as people have to take a turn to defend free speech out there. And I used to get threats of lawsuits a lot, and I never took them seriously until I actually got sued. And I can tell you it's a big pain, but in order to defend freedom, we have to all speak out and exercise our free speech.
Yeah. I want to go back to something you said earlier, where you were talking about how for 10 years you've had this award of $10,000 for anyone with proof of an unconventional over-unity, et cetera, type of system. And in defense of that, to a certain extent, you know, I haven't been the skeptic nearly as much as you are. I tend to be skeptical in some cases, but I tend to be more of the believer first before I become skeptical. And yet, in all of this coverage that I've done and all this time that I've been out there promoting and encouraging free energy technology, and when I say free energy, I include any source of energy that is free for the taking, including solar, wind, geothermal, tide.
Right. Yeah.
These are all natural, abundant,
I say free energy for the bizarre stuff, but I'm right with you on solar, wind, and geothermal. I would love to see those exploited more and more, but my prize simply isn't for those ones.
Right. And so your usage of the term free energy is more of the traditional kind of viewed as crackpot science.
Yeah, or kind of paranormal outside mainstream science. Some people say, as an engineer, I'm brainwashed in the status quo model for how reality exists. And I admit that, yes, conventional physics, I do trust to be correct. I know there's been improvements in it in the past, but it would have to be something outside of known physics, which might be there. But, you know, if I have to pay the $10,000, that's a small price to pay compared to the gain. My net worth, personally, I would expect to go up after losing my prize. Because if you think of it, all companies, I mean, I get stock in Walmart and all kinds of companies, the vast majority are energy consumers. It would greatly help their bottom line if they could get energy for free.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a selfish act.
It's not that they get energy for free because the devices aren't free. The energy is free, but the devices are not.
But the cost of their energy would come way down. I mean, think of all the trucking companies. Think about the airline industry. What they could stand to gain if their energy prices would come down just by half. I mean, even Microsoft.
To heat all right now, they're talking about using plastic glasses rather than glasses for dispensing their wine on the flights because of the added weight. I mean, they're trimming every possible ounce off their flights because it makes that much difference in the cost of their fuel, which has gone up logarithmically in the last few months.
But wouldn't you think if there's a way for them to have like a better carburetor or pre-ignition thing or magnets on the fuel line for jet fuel to make the turbines run more efficiently, it could save them billions a year if they could get twice as much energy out of their fuel.
Yeah. And there is a huge rush and cry for new energy sources, and if there was something real outside in the exotic, I think people would be very glad to see it come forward.
Yes.
But let me finish the thought I was
sure.
saying, and that is you're coming from it from a skeptical point of view. I'm coming at it from a believer's point of view, yet I have yet to witness a working magnet motor, a working over-unity system that is like an electromagnetic system. I've seen one system that was a system that, you know, I didn't know if it was getting more energy out than what was going in, but it was awfully cool to watch. It was kind of a Joe Cell type of situation. But in being the optimist that I am, I've not seen anything yet. I believe that I will, but I've not seen it yet. So, and also, in your defense, I need to say that I've never had anyone tell me that they have offered to take you up on your prize and that you have backed out or breached your agreement, saying, you know, it's like, well, no, that's... In other words, I've never seen somebody say that you have breached on your offer.
I've had people say they won't take the test because they're sure that I will breach on my side, but I can't do anything about that. But maybe both of us are making the world a better place from different angles. If there's the real thing, you're giving them a chance to have a voice. But if there's the real thing somewhere, maybe my whacking the most obvious frauds out of the way would give them an easier chance to stand up. And one of the things I've told people is, yeah, it's kind of negative just being a naysayer, but if you look at it as investment money that goes into frauds, could have gone into like a high energy battery or better real fuel cell, then the frauds out there are taking away risk money from potentially real things. So if I can make that happen a little less, maybe I can do some good that way.
One of the things that bothers me a lot in the outside-the-box field is when people mix religion and science.
Oh, yeah, like, I'm offended by that.
Yeah, that's something that Dennis Lee does, Timothy Thrapp does it. And what happens when somebody comes to you and wears God on their sleeves and says they've been called of God to do this work, what people are trained to do is put their brain in a jar, and it becomes a matter of faith. And only those with the greatest faith go forward with it as a sign of faith. It's almost like they think they're going to, you know, have a better chance of getting to heaven or something because they're supporting Dennis Lee, who is a man of God.
I couldn't have said it better. I feel the exact thing, and I take great umbrage at that. And in the skeptics community, it's no secret that there's a high percentage of atheists, and some of them actually, since I'm not an atheist, have, you know, pointed to that as an example of why I should come over to their side. And it hurts to see that, and to see Christian people, that good people, that their only crime is being too believing, having their life savings taken from them. That's what just gets me all fired up and makes me like a pit bull in all this. But I see it exactly the same as you do. It shouldn't be a matter of faith. When you hear God and money in the same breath, it's probably money doing the talking.
And one of the things that happens with people that do that, I tend to think that they themselves are not, they don't view themselves as fraudsters. They don't see themselves as a closet atheist who publicly presents themselves as a religious person in order to get money from people in any means possible, with no intention whatsoever of blessing the planet with new great technology. All they want is just to build the system. In my experience is that these people are victims of their own bad techniques. When they use science so heavily to promote when they use religion so heavily, they're blinded themselves to the negative aspects that if they would just look at it with a scientific, with a rational point of view, they would see the holes in their logic left and right. But because it has become a matter of faith for them as well, they're blinded to the inconsistencies in their story.
You know, I often wonder what really goes on in their heads, and I don't claim to know what's going on. So sometimes I wonder, are these people really more skeptical than me? And it's just how they make a living. Are they deluded? Are they surrounded by sycophants? Do they rationalize that they have to lie now because they'll figure it out later? I've always wondered, and I don't claim to really know what's all going on in there. I couldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about you for a second. You know, just to kind of get personal in asking about you. What do you do for a living? What motivates you? And you know, something along those lines.
Well, I'm kind of a stereotypical engineer type. I've always loved tinkering with stuff. Back in the 70s, I used to actually sneak into a computer room at night to teach myself computers. I have an electrical engineering degree from Lafayette College. I went through in 3.5 years. I've been doing work for the last 25 years plus in what's known as embedded engineering. I make firmware that goes on little devices for robotics, telecommunications, or process control. I have my code running actually all over the world in all kinds of different devices, doing unnamed little jobs, moving packets of information or reading temperatures and pressures for pulp and paper mills. Nothing I've done so far is something I can point to that's a consumer product. But it's been what my career has been for years, but kind of as a hobby involved in the skeptics movement, I have loved investigation into fascinating claims. Maybe if I would have grown up a little different, I'd be one more person working on my own perpetual motion wheel. But I've come to be fascinated by what goes on in the minds of possible investors and the amazing claim that something could revolutionize the world. I've just wanted to look further, and the more people try to shut me up, the more it makes me want to scream louder.
When you talk about doing this firmware, is this something you're doing as part of a company, or are you independent and you just contract out? How does that work?
I've done it as an employee for companies including More Products and JDS Uniphase, but mostly I've done it as a contractor. And some I wouldn't want to name any present or recent clients, but they've included Kulikin Soffa, Honeywell, L3 Communications. I've actually never worked for the government, and I've never worked for anything close to big oil interests. And I've told people I'd be happy to show my W-2 forms that I have and invoices and stuff from 20 years back. I've openly invited, okay, if people think I'm a paid hitman, pick one person, I'll let them audit my tax returns or talk to people that have known me for 30 years, or my former scoutmaster, or people involved in Boy Scouts with me, or you know, people whose kids I taught in Sunday school. But no one's been willing to take that challenge either.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk now about a specific technology, one that we're going to be featuring in our news here today, actually. When we get off this interview, I'll be putting a link up to what's called the FinsRud Perpetuum Mobile. That's spelled FinsRud. We're actually quite slow on giving some coverage on this. It's been around for a good year and a half. Year and a half. It's been there's been videos circulating on Google and elsewhere of this device that just appears to run and run and run and run. And it was built in 1996 and has been running since then. It appears it's called a perpetuum mobile. In other words, it's a perpetual motion device. It appears to include magnets, pendulums, some gravity mechanisms. And so what the driving force is here that's being harnessed is a little hard to tell. But none of these mechanisms are what physics would say could be harnessed to keep something in motion continuously. You've got a metal ball that's rolling around a perimeter at a fairly slow rate, about, I would guess, 30 RPM, if that, maybe even 20 RPM. And it just keeps going and going and going. There's a 47-minute video on YouTube that was posted in 2006. It's an artist. Came up with this design. It's a lot of moving parts, a lot of springs and levers, and but it's enclosed in a glass case. You can look at it from any angle you want, except what it doesn't show is it doesn't show what's at the base and what could be underneath it to as a possible electromagnetic input or something like that. What is your take on that machine?
Well, I kind of view it as a puzzle to figure out what's wrong with it. At the nearest museum to me, the Franklin Museum, there's a perpetual motion machine, and the challenge was to figure out how the energy is getting into it. The oldest free energy con men used to do the hidden wire, hidden pulley, hidden air pressure thing. The newer ones seem less creative and just claim they have mechanical breakage. It's funny because there's a movie called The Perpetual Dream. It was filmed by an Australian film producer. It ran on Discovery in other countries, but never ran in America. And I was in it evaluating a huge Ferris wheel type device. And I know they looked at the FinsRud thing and they said there's a conventional explanation for how it ran. I just don't remember whether it's a hidden pressure line or some sort of microwave energy radiator or maybe a little air blast that something gets. I always wanted to make my own using something up on plastic, but use plastic that some parts of it are conductive and some aren't. and send in electricity that way just as a demonstration. But the short answer to your question is I believe it's something that the museum people know about that keeps it interesting, but that it's not something real. But I should look into that more and figure out what the energy source really is. If it was real, it makes sense for that country, which I don't think they have any native forms of energy, to figure out how to engineer it to get real power out of it. But I don't know exactly how they do that. I don't think they even claim it's a real perpetual motion machine. I think it's most people don't know where the power source is coming from. There's a lot of ones out there that are mystery ones. There's a Swiss cult that claims to have a device, and they've let people see pictures, but they won't let people measure it. There's a whole lot of ones that, inventors just won't let you get close enough. Or the more common thing is a claim of over-unity, where they show you their instrumentation of input power and their instrumentation of output power, and then it becomes a big debate over, are they really reading it properly? And I personally think a lot of over-unity devices have gotten where they are simply because the inventor goes to maybe 10 different measuring sources before he finds one that instruments it wrong and wrongly concludes it's okay. There are a lot of simple ways to get near perpetual motion. I mean, if you think about it, there's watches my wife has that just has the tiniest of hearing aid batteries, and it powers rotation for 2 years solid. And that's really amazing when you think about multiple little gears running on almost no power. There's a perpetual motion clock. Have you heard of that one, Sterling?
Not really, sure. Perpetual.
The way it works is there's bellows in it, and with natural changing of air pressure, it gets just enough power that it can continuously run. There's another way that you can do it just from the rotation of the Earth. You get one kind of, if you have a big enough gyroscope, you get one kind of free counter-rotation every day.
Mm-hmm.
Another real form of tiny amount of free electricity you can get is, you can get electricity off your phone wire. There's natural current there. But in some areas, just putting two pipes in the ground, if there's enough ground current running around, you can essentially get some free electricity, but it's not very constant. Another one is if you're at all near large AM antennas, all you have to do is stretch a long line parallel to theirs, preferably at a clean multiple of their antenna, and supposedly you can pick up a pretty good amount of power that way. And it's those kind of tiny forms of power that just a perpetual motion machine would take to survive that makes me not want to offer a prize for pure perpetual motion, because I figure there's so many ways you could be faked. I mean, just a huge mass you could, on a really good bearing, will, like, turn for days. But I'll have to, you gave me a homework assignment, I'll have to try to research a bit and look up what's up with the Finn's Root machine.
One of the red flags, as I can see it, is they have posted on their site what looks to be a complete set of drawings, and yet I don't see that anyone has replicated this effect, and it's been around for a decade, so you would think that somebody by now would have... And it may just be because I haven't been looking at it long enough to become aware of a replication, failed or successful.
There are pendulums that I've heard will just keep on going. There's a note on a James Randi discussion board that says that radar Finn's Root says the machine does stop on occasions, but not a daily basis, and to start the machine, they swing pendulums by hand, that does put external energy into the system. I mean, if you think of it, it's kind of impressive that old grandfather clocks, as inefficient as their mechanisms must be, can be powered for, I don't know how many hours, just by a weight moving a small distance down. So, you know, maybe if you have a 100-pound pendulum, something more massive than you'd think that's really made out of lead, but looks like it's hollow. If it would swing back and forth 30 feet, that'd be enough power to send little balls going for a good, maybe all day long.
Yeah. Let's talk now about, in your list of frauds or inventors or inventions to stay away from, who and what do you think are the most egregious examples of fraud and taking people's money when they shouldn't?
Yeah, I guess top of the list would be my buddy Dennis Lee. Just the amount of bad science that he says, his 20 years of having nothing to show and millions of dollars being lost. I guess close behind him, I'd probably put Joe Newman, because he had gained national recognition, national press coverage, and was actually a mentor of Lee's for a while. He's been at it for 30 years, and he always has something, 2 months away to come out in the open. I have no idea the scope of money that he's taken, but he's certainly known how to get big attention. The Lutech people in Australia were always promising year after year to open things up and have proof. I'd put them as the biggest ones on their continent. Tilly, who you did an excellent job of exposing, I think was really big. He went high-end. Anyone, a lot of these people rent out whole stadiums. And anyone that does that, they're not just conning some local woman out of her inheritance or something. At that point, it's really big. Perrin Dev is a particularly big one. I thought the Genesis World Energy one was pretty big. They did a great job not having a single spokesperson or like a single obvious headquarters. They got a huge bit of publicity for a long, long time before they went down. Citizen RE, I figured the final word isn't out on them yet. I wouldn't want to call them a fraud. It looks kind of questionable, a lot of hopefulness. Tom Bearden doesn't take people's money, but in my mind, the amount of time wasted on trying to replicate promises of that Meg device have been a shame. I wonder how many lifetimes have been spent following what I take to be just kind of random gibberish. Those are some of the bigger ones. Blacklight Power, I wouldn't want to put in the same category, even though other people do, because they at least have real scientists and they have some theory behind it. But I think it's most likely junk. That'd be kind of my short list of some of the big players. Going back in history, there's been some really really major ones. Some of them just won't die, like the Myers engine thing. There's always someone to try to resurrect some of this stuff. What amazes me is when the early big overbalanced wheels, the Orifice or Bessler wheel, I would have thought that was debunked in the 13th century, but there's still people trying to replicate this. So even when an inventor dies, whether he's accused of fraud or not, there's just always going to be people long after both you and I are dead that will say the suppression people suppressed his invention, it got lost, but let's try to resurrect it. It's kind of like you just can't pound the wooden stake into the vampire's heart and keep him dead. It's, these people are more like Halloween or Friday the 13th, but you can't kill a boogeyman.
Now, if you're going through each one of these, there's very few that I would also include in an unequivocal list of bad signs or fraud. Dennis Lee, for example, even though he does have a lot of bad science and bad business in terms of mixing religion and science so that people put their brain in a jar, he does have some devices that are non-free energy devices that are very good.
Some of this stuff might actually work. I assume it's available cheaper elsewhere. What would you say is his most impressive of his devices that aren't his big a claim? You mean like the plastic houses?
I'm not in conversion with that to be able to say. I've got some friends who are dealers of his and stand by him despite all of the bad things he's gone through. For the most part, they understand that his approach could use some improvement. But I think they're bitten by the bug of belief that there's something there to come out of all this effort that they put into it, the money that they paid for dealerships and the time that they put into broadening their base. But they're, you know, the fire retardant stuff has saved homes from fire.
There's a few things in there that might be real. I assume there's other people that cover them, but there's, you know, thing that supposedly gets rid of oil spots. Maybe that works for all I know. There's some like soap kind of products, a jackhammer device. But my kind of simple upshot of that is, why would someone have paid like $10,000 or $100,000 to be a dealer of that stuff? And another way to look at it is, if you have free electricity, well, what are you bothering with the better soap for? Shouldn't you just be getting the free electricity out there?
Those products are basically standby products, something to work on while we're waiting for the really good stuff.
Well, but then that leads to the question of, why is it, you know, decade after decade, a month away that the really good stuff is coming? And that's where I feel bad for these people, because I think when you put a huge amount of money into something, it's really hard to admit that you did it for nothing. So, and that's something that's fascinating me, is a lesson in human nature. It's easier for them to just keep on wanting to be patient. And I guess right now they're all thinking July 10th, they'll be inviting all their friends to go out to the 100 stadiums all across America and see all this stuff work. And there's lots of them waiting for their HAFC kit to come in, or waiting for it to get tuned properly. And people have explained to me that most people need like some big element of hope. They want us to think that something is big right around the corner, and they want to think that they're going to be a part of it. And I never felt a need to buy lottery tickets, and maybe I just don't get that about human nature.
Just recently on Dennis Lee, the dealers who have been comparing their numbers on this hydrogen assist fuel cell that we talked about at the very beginning, they're saying that many of them are actually getting 100% improvement. In other words, they're getting a twofold increase in their mileage. They're not just getting 50% or barely above. They're getting like way above that. At the same time, Dennis Lee is coming under so much pressure from some of the bad stuff that's gone on that his phone line is disconnected. The only way to reach him is by fax. He doesn't have a secretary anymore. And yet, you know,
he's always operated like that. They've always said he's hard to get a hold of. But, you know, if there's people that have it, if any of those people that have a double mileage car are listening, please try to arrange for me to have a look, or arrange for me to have someone in your area take a look at it. And that's something I just don't get. If there really is a car that's doubled, every day that we wait to get it out into mass production is another several hundred people dying from the poison that we dump into our atmosphere. Why would we want to keep on hemorrhaging money for poison to Al-Qaeda and countries that hate us, for a poison that's overheating the world? I don't get, if it's for real, why wouldn't you want to get over the main stumbling block of it being accepted, which is, you know, most people knee-jerk right off. They don't think it's a scam. Why not just get past that and openly have it validated? I just don't get that.
Well, I think the answer in that particular case is that their business model is grossly flawed. Rather than go to an independent lab and get certification by a trusted scientist, independent testing,
right,
they go on anecdotes. And so after spending who knows how many tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, putting full-page ads in Popular Mechanics and other major magazines
They did that before they had the production up.
They've only had 300 cells, and they're three months
behind. Is that all they've shipped so far? They paid, you know, more than $1 million for advertising. They've only shipped 300 cells.
No, they've only sold 300. They're 3 months behind in their delivery.
Well, that definitely seems bizarre to me. Even if he has something real, he's definitely a horrible businessman. And I get reports from people that used to work with him 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and they pretty much all say the same thing. He's so incredibly arrogant that no one can tell him anything. Well, he says he gets these messages direct from God, so who are we to argue with God?
And unfortunately, that phenomena of good science, let's say, for example, that he does have something that really does give 50% improvement in mileage, and I think he probably does. My guess is that when you guys do this test, he's going to win. That's my hope, too.
Well, that would be good for the world. He wins.
Yeah. That, we're going to see a 50% improvement in the mileage of the vehicle. You know, you're putting down $5,000, and Jeff Otto is going to walk away with the $10,000 kitty. But what happens is you mix good science with bad business. It takes a lot of parameters to be successful, and having good technology is just one of them.
Think about this: the patents for these super high mileage carburetors, these have been long since passed the enforcement date for decades. There's lots of people making the exact same thing: the magnets in the fuel line, heating the fuel. If that's the case, why wouldn't someone else have done it and been able to replicate it and call a major news program down to video a test? Why would that not have been done in all these decades?
Well, the answer to that question is, in some cases, not all, the corruption of the oil interests that is in bed with the motor interests, that they don't want higher mileage vehicles because of how much money they're raking in from the price of oil right now. They don't want high-efficiency vehicles because of the money that is coming in by the truckload.
Okay, but then why not a country like Japan or Israel that has no big oil interest? Why wouldn't people in those countries want to not hemorrhage trillions of dollars out for poison?
Supposedly in some of these cases where they've got these high-mileage solutions, companies like that are knocking on their door and are taking a look. And it may be just a matter of time before some of these things do actually show up in the marketplace.
But when you say matter of time, see, maybe I'm impatient, but I see the road to the Nobel Prize as being a short one. I think, on a Saturday I could lose my money, and by 2 weeks I could get people to really have a big-time test and get it on national TV, and then a week after that, major scientific tests and get all my skeptic people to confirm it, and then next year's Nobel Prize would go to them. I don't see the sticking point along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many, think of countries that make poor cars. If all they have to do is make a carburetor that exists, that there's plans out there for, put in their car, and all of a sudden they have a family sedan getting 50, 60 miles a gallon, the marketplace would be theirs, especially in today's market. And there's got to be like 20, 30 companies that make cars in maybe 12 or 13 different countries. Do all of them have all their engineering departments stifled by big oil men in black? I've never gotten a good answer for that. Or, for that matter, all the tinkers that have all the free plans floating around, wouldn't there be more people that are tinkers that get 80 miles a gallon for a conventional car that could just tell their local newspaper that's owned by some local yokel to do a story on it? I've been trying to get people to do that, too. No, sure, maybe ABC and NBC is owned by Big Oil, but not the little newspaper with a 10,000 subscription base.
what happens sometimes. In the case of LUTEC, for example, they did some coverage, and unfortunately, I don't think that they were rigorous enough, and so that coverage doesn't count for a lot.
Well, I've seen a few small-time TV stations do coverage of one of these people who talks about running an engine on water and all this is a Brown's gas machine, and the news coverage doesn't get a technical person so that they don't realize that there's a huge amount of energy going in to make the fuel out of water, and they end up doing a story, and I get a dozen people, you know, giving me YouTube links to something, and I'm trying to tell them all that, yeah, they didn't know about the input power. See, I see that example of a story, or LUTEC in Australia, you know, says, hey, we're over Unity now, and someone prints it up as it's gospel truth, even though they didn't examine it. I figure if those stories are out there, why couldn't there be a story about the real thing?
Yeah. Well, we've come to the end of our time. I appreciate you coming on at the last minute. It's been enjoyable talking to you and being able to hear things from your perspective. We haven't put out the name of your address or your website. Why don't you give us that?
Yeah, www.phact.org. And just start with /hafc.htm. And there's links from there to all my other skeptical indoctrinations.
So it's pronounced fact, but it's spelled with a P-H.
Right, as in Philadelphia Association for Critical Thinking. Okay. The skeptics group I'm president of.
Well, Eric, thanks for joining us.
I appreciate your time.
You bet.
Thanks very much, Sterling. Keep up the good work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net and join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information Network.